Ms. Burleson?
I agree with Ron and the ones before me that we cannot change history. People died. People did awful things. But unless we tell our children those things, then how can we keep them from making those same mistakes in the future? We have to tell them about those things. It's like discipline a child. You have to tell them that it's wrong to hit someone. You have to tell them that it's wrong to steal. You have to tell them about the past and the wrongs that were done in the past, or they're going to repeat those things. It's not right to sugarcoat the past. That's what I see in critical race theory, is an attempt to sugarcoat the past and create a past that is not a correct
Thank
past.
You, okay, we're ready now for question number 4, which will be asked of Mr. Green.
What are the top 3 things that need improving in our school system?
Top 3 things, I think communication, better than just recording coming to you. I think communication should be a whole lot better. You know, letting the public know, just like the new school's being built, the what's going on with it, the progress of it and stuff. I think safety of the schools, having more resource officers, even if we have to look at maybe, you know, doing private or whatever, but getting a resource officer at every school where that officer ain't run to death. Make sure schools is safe, and that takes all of us as a community too. You know, you see something out of the way or something, you need to let somebody know. And third, most of all, I think our teachers and our janitors and everybody in the school system ought to deserve the pay as any other teachers do.
Mr. Pittman.
The 3 priorities are 3 challenges. First of all, providing a safe environment for our young people. When you look at our schools, we've done a lot. Our board, the staff, administration has really worked hard at trying to make our schools as safe as possible. I love Bowman, but that is probably one of the greatest challenges when you look at the number of outside entrances and trying to protect those young people there, and even as they're walking in and out of buildings. Again, my son being a 5th grader is one of those. It's said that, you know, we like to think we're in a nice little small town, Bakersville and Spruce Pine and Mitchell County, and those types of things don't happen. We don't know when it'll happen, where it'll happen. I found myself recently in a situation I didn't think would ever happen and it would involve me. So that's number one. We're doing a lot of things trying to record those SROs, the resource officers, also supporting our faculty.
Thank you, sir.
With pay.
Ms. Pittman?
Well, I agree with them on the safety issue. Having spent my last 5 years at Bowman in a classroom that was in a building off by itself, and my actual classroom door opened to the outside and I had to go outside to lock it. Yeah, we need to do better on our safety, and Bowman is a big problem. And leading into that, I think this new school will solve a lot of that safety issues. We won't have 92 old doors that we've got to police every time we turn around. I also think that we need to support our teachers and our students, and I would love to see them be paid number one in the United States, but I don't think that's going to happen. We just don't have the numbers in student populations to afford that much. I also think that we need to do a better job with our bus drivers. If anybody's been in the school system.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay.
You know that bus drivers are like gold. We have none. If 2's out, you're scrambling. So I don't know what we could do to entice more bus drivers, be it pay them more money, give them better hours, but it's a serious problem when you can't get the kids to and from school.
I agree that safety is one of the top issues, but having known the school systems, we have Greenlee and the high school that are both basically, Greenlee is totally fenced, but yet are we shutting the gates? Are we spending money to keep those gates shut during the day to keep intruders out? And what are we going to do about Gooch? It's going to take a lot to fence Gooch if that is part of the problem. But I think one of the things that I saw when I was in the school system is, and if you look back at the shootings and stuff that's going on in other school systems throughout the nation, are we recognizing students that have problems? Are we seeing the red flags of the students that may be potential shooters? And what are we doing there? It comes right down, most important thing is our school is to teach children.
Ms. Burleson.
I think our three biggest challenges is, I agree with some of the others, the facilities and the safety issues that go along with our facilities. I think another big challenge that's not been mentioned is our enrollment. We've gone from back in the 80s when I was a student here, we had about 3,000 students. We're down to about 1,700 students now countywide. And that causes all sorts of problems because we get funded based on the number of students that we have. And the funding causes problems with number of teachers that we get. We also, another problem is programs are being cut. I'd like to see us be able to provide our STEM programs more than just half a year. I'd like to see us be able to provide band more than half a year. Other programs to our students more than just a half a year. So,
thank you. Okay, Mr. English.
The top three things that I see, of course, is number one, safety of the kids. In a small community, it can happen here, and we need to do whatever we can to prevent that. Number two, recruitment, retention of faculty, staff, and anybody that works with the school. I had like four phone calls this year wanting me to come back after being retired 7 years and teach because it was hard to fill positions. And you don't want to just fill positions. You want to fill positions with qualified people, but not just with qualified people. You want qualified people that care. You want the best that really want to be there. You don't want them just because it's a job and they can have a summer off or whatever. That's not the reason. And number three, this may be very unpopular, guys, but I'm going to say it. There needs to be a relationship between the school board and the county commissioners. That relationship, from my view in the past, has not been good.
Okay.
Been that great from what I understand. And I think I can help bridge that gap. And by bridging that gap, I mean and I'm not saying no one has not been transparent, and I think they have. But, you know, transparency, I think, is a big part of that. And I think I can help with that. And another issue is mental health. Mental health is huge, and it has to be dealt with. You can't just keep sweeping it under the rug and saying, my last year at the school I was at, Greenlee, we enrolled a little over 100 kindergartners. 15 of them were diagnosed with PTSD coming into kindergarten. That is a fact. And, you know, you can't just ignore these things. It's huge, and it has to be dealt with.
Okay. Now, given our time constraints, this is going to have to be our last question. And, Ryan, I hope you've got a dandy. It's comprehensive. You've already picked one out.
We'll pick the big one.
Okay. All right. This question will be beginning with Brandon Pittman.
Pretty long statement that goes with the question, so I'll just read this to you. The open curriculum is based on a belief in the power of student choice exercised in collaboration with faculty. Such a curriculum gives students great freedom but expects considerable responsibility in return, and it requires significant faculty engagement to shape, support, and inspire student learning. For example, this would mean that programs like Common Core Math would not be the only way a student could be taught or learn. Will you enact an open curriculum policy?
It's really challenging with an open curriculum policy. It's important trying to reach, I think the objective of that is try to reach all learners at their level and, you know, understanding how that child or that student's mind is processing that. The reality is we have teachers that are teaching multiple disciplinary subjects, teaching multiple grades, and I think we have to approach that very wisely to see how we equip our faculty to be able to present various methods. It is a huge responsibility, and we had to just to approach that very carefully as far as not overworking them. I think we're already stretching a lot of our teacher resources, their time, their abilities in doing so. We want to, again, find that opportunity for those students to learn to the best of their ability each one is able to do, and no child is incapable of being able to learn.
Thank you. Ms. Pittman?
I agree with him that it would be wonderful if every student could have somebody sitting beside them, helping them learn at whatever rate, whatever method they do, they learn best at. I don't think we have the faculty in place to be able to do that. I know just, I have seen so many teachers, especially math, there's so many different ways to do everything. And I mean, even I as a computer teacher have helped kids with their math, and they said, how'd you get that? I said, well, that's the way they taught me 100 years ago. And well, that makes sense, you know. And it's sad that we don't have the people to do that. But it would overwork the teachers. Now, if we had enough money, we could put some teacher's aides in those rooms and get those kids some help and be able to have more one-on-one, that would be great. But I don't know that it will happen.
Thank you. Mr. Bailey.
Well, I agree with both of them. There's not enough resources in the system. And when it comes right down to it, the core of it is how much time is allowed to spend on each subject. And it's a changing world, but how much changes are coming from Raleigh to assist small counties like Mitchell County in being able to provide everything. And I think one of the things that most of Mitchell County has seen that's happened in closing of the two schools referred to as the northern end is it's give the students now more resources than that. And hopefully that's something that's going to happen too with this new middle school. But we can't overwork what we already have by adding more to it and skip out on what's already been trying to be taught.
Ms. Burleson?
I'm not particularly fond of Common Core myself as a curriculum, but I do know that when you change curriculum and teachers learn the new curriculum that is delivered in a classroom, that it's very difficult to get started with a new curriculum and to open things up to just open curriculum is a very interesting concept, but in a classroom, I think that you're asking for, in a public school setting, it's a very difficult thing. It's a very interesting concept, but I think it's a very difficult thing to implement. I would love for every child to be taught that way, but in public school, I think it would be very difficult. Very difficult. I'd love to implement it, but I'm not sure.
Thank you. Mr. English?
If you had 20 children in a classroom, you would have 20 different levels of children. And, you know, I see a few teachers out there, and they'll tell you that. And, you know, and that's That's where we used to use resources at Green, that we use communities and schools. I see Lori Gilchrist back here. They used to step in and they were volunteer, they cost us nothing. And they would come in a lot of times when we were having to do differentiation within students of different levels. And that really made a difference, because for a teacher to reach 20 or 25 or 30 different levels of students, and when they're teaching in primary school, you know, seven different topics, to reach all of that is incredibly hard. And, you know, with the help that you could receive from someone like that, and finding those resources to help get more like that help for our students is wonderful. I think we need to not be afraid to reach out and use those resources.
Thank you. Mr. Green?
Yeah, definitely resources. We need them in the classrooms, the volunteers. Back in, when I went to school, I remember, and I think it'd be a good practice to get back to, is place test these kids, set their goals where they're reachable and not leave them behind and failing. You know, they might be in a class with other kids, you know, at what level they're at, but at least they're in that class and there's a goal set that they can reach and not feel like they're failing in a class that they know that goal set real high, they can't reach it. You know, having them resources and having other kids in there learning from the same thing, but maybe having more help in that one class where they're struggling and giving them the tools and everything they need to reach those goals. I think a child would come out better. Then maybe reevaluate them later on and move them up to a different, better class.
Mr. Pittman?
I said no, that we don't have the resources for open curriculum, but I would like to propose a solution to how we achieve those goals, and that's through project-based learning. Getting students involved with partnering with the industry to solve real world problems. By doing that, they're able to see how they're able to take what they're being taught in the curriculum. They may not grasp how that is taking place, but when you give them the real application of it. Doing horticulture, I have a live project. What makes those students engage in that is they have a crop that they're growing in the fall and in the spring. Right now we're doing poinsettias. They see the math. If I just give them fertilizer calculation on water soluble fertilizer, they're not going to get it. But when we go out and we put that into application, it starts to click with them. And I think that's a solution to be able to achieve the goals of open curriculum.
Okay. I got it for all of that. That is our last question. We will begin our responses. In case y'all wondering why I'm so picky about these cards, Mandy and Harley Masters worked out a situation. For every five of these I gather, I can buy a cup of coffee at Harley's Cafe for $2. Okay, we'll reverse our order here. Pam, we'll let you start with the closing statements, and you do have 2 minutes.
I do want to thank you all for coming out and giving us a chance to talk. And please, as several of them have already said, regardless of who you want to vote for, please come out and vote. I have said several times, I don't want to hear you griping if you didn't come out and vote. Anyone that knows me, and two-thirds or three-fourths of Mitchell County I've taught over the past 30 years. But if you know me, you know pretty well that I like to talk, and I will listen to whatever you have to say or whatever complaint you've got. And if it is reasonable and seems to me that it is a problem, I have no problem taking it up the chain. Anybody that knows me knows that I pretty well say what I mean and mean what I say. So if you have a problem and I like to talk, just let me know. I will be there if you need me.
Again, I want to thank each of you for being here, and thank you for the opportunity to the Chamber for allowing us to be here. We'll say, I think, just reiterate the importance to get out and vote. Do appreciate that, and your opinion does matter. Every one of us, I think, are all about promoting our students and seeing them be successful. I want to thank Mr. Pittman for pointing out earlier that with one of the works that our board and commissioners have worked hard on, and one of the things that seems like maybe we've drug our feet and been forever in this, dealing with inflation cost of building, We don't want, as a board and school board, to put an unwanted burden on taxpayers. We do have, as we enter that contract, we will have a guaranteed maximum price. We have a 10% contingency built into that almost. We're working on raising some funding, private dollars for that as well. And that doesn't include the sale of Deaton and Harris. I think Bowman, and one of the things I want to see there is that building doesn't go to waste, that it doesn't lose that community aspect, that there's been communication and conversation about how that building can continue to be utilized and serve the community. I'm grateful again for what our faculty and staff do. I look around, see a couple of teachers here that are very dedicated to that, and they have been asked to do more than perhaps they should be asked to do. But we deal with the challenge of that. We have just over 1,700 students. When we drop below 1,700, our funding is going to significantly be impacted by that, and it's going to be more challenged financially for Mitchell County School Districts. Highly possibility that's coming. We're looking at probably bottom out somewhere around 1,400. We're not going to stay at 1,400. I believe what the commissioners are doing, what Representative Green, Senator Heiss are doing for our area, we will continue to grow in that, and that population will increase. We've got to be building for the future.
I'd just like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Thank the chamber, Ms. Polly, Ms. Meisters. Ms. Polly's doing an awesome job throwing up that card, too, by the way. But I'd appreciate you voting November the 8th. I'm not no retired teacher, but I love kids. I love volunteering in the school system. I've done it for years. Volunteering, going to Gatlinburg, taking kindergarten class to aquarium, and sneaking, going to Krispy Kreme after and buying them all donuts. I probably shouldn't have done that, but we did anyway. But I enjoyed just being around them, you know, love the kids. I want them to make sure they're safe. There's a safe place for them to go to. These school bus drivers, these janitors, I think they just got a raise to $15 an hour, and it's been, what, almost 15, 20 years waiting on that. I think they ought to get more money. You know, I think the board will be able to maybe send something to Raleigh, maybe a gender or something, or grants to get them more money somehow and get more bus drivers and stuff out there for us. I talked the other day to Mr. Birchfield personally when I was up at the PTO meeting about we can't have prayer during academic during the day, but if elected, that's going to be one of my biggest pushes, is maybe having prayer before school. A prayer after school, he said that would be fine as long as it wasn't in the 8 hour during the academic teaching. So I think at the high school they still do prayer at the flagpole, you know, some at the school. But I think prayer needs to be back in our school. I really believe in that. And like I said, I'm just I'd love to be elected on November the 8th, and just appreciate everybody coming out. And if elected, I'll work hard and do everything I can for our children in Mitchell County. Thank you.
May I use that? Mr. Green, I appreciate what you say about supporting prayer, but I will say that prayer is in our school. Prayer, student-led prayer, is there. My mom's a retired teacher. They took a group down to the Hickory Science Center in Hickory, the Catawba Science Center, it's actually called. Before lunch, they were lined up getting ready to go to lunch. One of the students led asking the blessing before they went. One of the ladies that worked for the Catawba Science Center looked and said, "Aren't you a public school?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "How are you doing that?" It's student-led. Our students need to know what their rights are. They can engage in that, and they can do that.
Okay. I get to get two this time. Wow.
Well, the response to you, Mr. Pittman, that was you was at some science center. It wasn't at the school.
They do it every day.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying, my children's been told that they're not, the prayer wasn't allowed. So I don't know if that's, if you go to Bowman, maybe it's different than the Spruce Pine schools. But yes, prayer needs to be in school, and that's very important in my life and my children's life.
Mr. English.
Well, back to what I said earlier, safety. Being able to recruit and retain our teachers and faculty and staffs and to work on a relationship with our local governments And I think anyone on this board or any other board, whether it be county commissioner or whatever, I think we do have to be empathetic. Roughly, I gave you a number a while ago about the PTSD in our kindergarten class. The last year I was there 7 years ago, we also were looking at 50% single or no parent home children, either being raised by aunts or uncles or grandparents or great grandparents. And let me tell you something, 62 years old, I'll be 63 in January, and raising a sixth grader and a ninth grader is a lot different than it was at 30. You know, keeping up with the technology and being able to know, you know, what's going on and keeping up, thank goodness for the 360 app. If you don't have it, get it. But, it's tough. It's tough for families. We're preparing kids for jobs that do not even exist. These kids that are coming through right now, we're preparing them to go out there and do jobs and things that don't exist yet. So what we need to do is teach them to think. Teach them to think and make decisions, you know, and make their choices. They have to be able to do that because, you know, if they just always do what they're told and don't make decisions on their own, there's going to be a problem. You know, they have to be able to make those decisions. And another resource we have that I didn't mention a while ago is 4-H. It is huge. It has really helped our school system with a lot of different things also.
Okay. Pam, you have a rebuttal?
I just wanted to add to Mr. English's empathy. I had an email today. I'm still on the school email list. I guess eventually they'll take me off. But I had one from North Carolina Public Schools. They have come out as of today with a portrait of a graduate, and they have seven what they're calling durable skills that they think all graduates need to have. Empathy is one of them. It's basically what we used to call soft skills. If you've been in this business long enough, things change names all the time. But I like the way they put it and what they had on there. They had communication skills, empathy, personal responsibility, which I don't think we teach enough of. And like I said, there were seven of them. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I think empathy was the first one. So I agree with you.
Ms. Burleson?
Well, thank y'all for coming out tonight. And I just want to add to, we do have issues in the school system. We have needs. We can do better. We do need to communicate better with our county commission. We don't have as good a communication there. I'll add with what Alan has said. We have a lot of things that we can improve. That's why I want to run again. I have a list of things that in my next term I would like to be able to say that I can accomplish. I don't like to leave things unfinished. That's just the type of person that I am. And I want to see things improve. We have a lot of wonderful folks in this county. I would like to see our children. I want to see the system grow. You all have inspired me tonight with some of the things that you have said about things growing in this county. I want to see our school system grow with this county. I would like to see a multi-agency committee. You know, we don't grow in little spots. I have not heard anybody mention our agency sit down together and talk about this entire county growing together. Why doesn't the school system and the county commissioners and the rest of all of our agencies, why have we not ever all sat down for a meeting together to talk about helping Mitchell County grow? We all should grow together. Why have we not ever done that before? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there tonight because I've got the microphone. So what about it? You know? Just throwing it out there. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, but it's a thought. You know, the idea that I was told one time was, and it was pretty good advice from a college professor I had, Angie, if you're going to lead, put yourself in the position and then surround yourself with people who have different perspectives than you have. That's what makes a good leader.
Mr. Bailey.
Again, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out. Communication is great. One of the greatest ways that you, as a resident of Mitchell County, can know more is to get involved. When my girls were in school, for 2 years I attended school board meetings because I wanted to know what was going on. I saw some things, but I wanted to know everything was going on. And a challenge to our commissioners is, don't just look at our students that are going off and getting college degrees, because not everybody's going to do that. We need to keep all students in Mitchell County, if at all possible. My hopes and dreams is that none of my grandchildren move off when they get grown, because I want to spend that time with them. And I've told many people in talking to them since I filed to run for this office is that I'm going to get involved, whether elected or not. I'm going to be in the school system. And we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage the parents of the kids. You got a problem? Call your teacher up. Call your principal up. And if elected, somebody calls me up and says this problem's going on, the first thing I'm going to ask them is, have you talked to your teacher? Have you talked to your principal? Have you been to the county office? And if they say no, I'm going to say, I can't help you until you go through those steps. But we've all got to get involved to make Mitchell County better. It's like Angie said, it's not a perfect system. Will it ever be? Probably never will, because how many things on earth are perfect? But by Mitchell County getting involved, which is why I am running, is I want to get involved and I want to do what I can to make it a better school system and a better county, that our students will stay here when they graduate.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
One last thing. My dad, growing up, he left me with a statement, and it said, no one cares how much you know till they know how much you care. If you don't think I care about you, you're not going to listen to a word I have to say. And that's the same thing with kids. And that's what I said earlier, you know, recruiting and retaining teachers and faculty and staff. And yes, that custodian, that bus driver, my kids love the bus driver more than they do anybody. You know, and everyone is important, and they know they care about them. And when they know that, things are so much easier. And that relationship is not just with the kids and the families, it's with each other, with boards, with government agencies, with everybody, you know. People know whether you care. There's three good ways to judge the character of a person. The dogs like them, the kids like them, and what they do with their grocery cart when they're through shopping.
Yep.
Okay, is that it? All right, thanks to all of our candidates who came out to participate. And in praise of our candidates, quit your belly aching about stuff, get off your butt and run for office and make a difference. Second thing, quit your belly aching, get off your butt and vote. We want to thank the chamber for hosting this on a continuum. It's been a good thing. I think it's a valid and valuable part of our community.